The scripture this morning comes from Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5. At the very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." The Word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. We have these memories of tragedy and terrible thing happened to us as a nation. But at the same time, individually, tragedies occur and terrible things happen oftentimes. Make us asking this question, "Lord, why? Why is this happening? Why has this happened? Lord, where are you?" Oftentimes, we have those moments of life. In my ministry, there was a 13-year-old man diagnosed with cancer and suffered from that. I believe some of you have your friend died of a car accident. Sometimes it was not his or her fault. Somebody else was driving. Only thing that person was responsible was getting into that vehicle and then dying tragically. Some of us having in our family birth of a new child, however, with certain very severe disability and a very difficult condition, then we ask, "Lord, why?" I know one person is diagnosed with lung cancer, but the thing is, as I talk to that person and the family, she was saying that, "Pastor, I never smoked. Then what about this stage 4 lung cancer? I never smoked." Not like that national, that immense tragedy, but in our lives we have many tragedies beyond our comprehension, and also losing our loved one. And I'm thinking, you know, Phyllis is there, Tom Thompson. It was a shock because he was worshiping with us about a month ago and he passed on. And Suki is here. We had lunch with him and his wife at our home. And then later he said, "You know, I'm going to go home and take a nap." And that was the last thing that I see him, and at the hospital, him passing away. That's that. So what I am asking for us to think of this morning is this. When tragedy hits us, and death occurs to us so suddenly and unexpectedly, and terrible things happen to us, then we'd like to know, "Lord, why?" And we have many questions. In those times, what is the right question? And also, how do we make sense out of those very crazy and freaky and bizarre things of the world? When we struggle with that, how do we control ourselves? What are the right questions that we should ask will help us? So that's the topic today. So asking the right question is very important. And I want you to think with me, in today's text, what happened was some of the people and disciples, they came to Jesus and asked this question, "You know, Lord," something like, not that huge like a 9/11, but some of the tragedies happened to the people of Israel back then. And first is, they were coming and scratching their heads and then kind of shaking themselves and saying that, "You know, teacher, help us to understand this thing. There are some people from Galilee, they went to Jerusalem temple to worship the Lord. Back then when they went to the temple to worship the Lord, they brought animals like a sheep and goat, you get the picture. And then they were bringing those animals to kill and offer sacrifice. As they were about to do that, bringing their animals, Pilate, governor from Rome, thought that those group of guys from Galilee were part of riot that caused the trouble to him before. So he sent his soldiers and killed those Galileans. As a result of that, their own blood and the blood of the animals that they were about to sacrifice were mingled. So these people coming and asking Jesus, Lord, why? Don't get it. Why? They went there, worshiped the Lord. They were not doing anything bad and criminal, immoral act, or they were engaged in. No, they were there to worship the Lord. And why is this happening? There were 18 people went to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, near the temple, there is a place called the Pool of Siloam. And in that place, they believe that whoever washes their body there, and whenever the water stirs, anybody who has illness will be healed. So people were there. They were there to wash themselves and purify themselves and to be cured. That was their purpose. Nothing immoral, criminal, nothing bad. As they were gathered together, washing and cleansing themselves, and also waiting to God's miracle to happen to them, the tower fell, crashed it, killed 18 people. So again, the people was asking, Lord, why? I don't get it. We don't get it. They were there to be washed and cleansed and cured by God. Nothing wrong for them. They didn't do anything bad and evil, wicked thing. But then why is this happening? We don't get it. And they were thinking, could it be, though we do not know, those guys, those people were killed because they were kind of, you know, bad guys or worse sinners than everybody? That's what they were asking. What was Jesus' answer? Did Jesus say, okay, here's the answer, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, tornado is a bad thing and flood is also a bad thing. Jesus didn't answer that question, okay, it's 1, 2, 3. No, he didn't. It seems Jesus is ignoring the question completely and he is talking about something else. He's not answering. He's ignoring, dismissing their questions, almost saying that you guys are asking wrong questions. The questions you ought to ask and also you ought to think about the things are these. And then he said twice in verse 3 and 5, do you think they have this terrible thing happen to them because they were worse sinners than others? And no, 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 no. Unless, he said this twice, unless you repent, you will. It's not you maybe, there's a chance, you know, 50-50. No, it says you will, all, everybody, you will all perish unless you repent. He said that twice. This is, I believe, Christ is speaking to us. When we have things like, you know, 9/11 flood and death and accident and all those things happens, yes, I naturally would like to ask this question. Why has this happened? Why is this happening? Why? We don't get it. In those times, we want to know why. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, that's wrong question. If you're interested in that question, I'm not going to answer you. But this is what I want you to think about. That's life. Not certain. You don't have tomorrow as yours. You do not know. Your life, your future is not yours. Know that. And everybody, this is going to happen to everybody. You have to have right relationship with God and walk with God. In that way, whenever you meet your Maker, you can be ready. That's what you need to be asking and thinking about. Don't ask me why those tragedies happen. Those are irrelevant, meaningless in terms of eternity. In terms of eternity, what matters is think. Whether you have repented, forgiven, have a relationship with the Maker of the universe, church of the living and the dead, whether you are walking with that Creator and Maker and ready to meet that Maker any day. Are you living in that faith and relationship? That's what you need to be asking and thinking about. Here's a human reality. Hebrews 9:27 and 28 says, and just as it is appointed, the Greek word it could mean fixed, determined. No one can change that. for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. This is human reality. We can't change it. We all die once. We have to meet the Maker. But if we have Jesus and believe Jesus and walk with Him, when He comes again, when we see Him, we will have new life. How about Psalm 90:10? The days of our life are 70 years. Some of you already passed. Then be thankful to God. Well, perhaps 80. If we are strong, even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone. We fly away. Acts 2:37 and 38, it says, when people came after listening about the message of Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, people asked, brothers, what should I do? Should we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. You'll be receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be forgiven, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and live as child of God every day. So that whether 9/11, whether that is flood, whether there's earthquake, not waking up next morning, whatever happens to us, we can stand before our Maker with a good conscience. Be ready. That's what matters. That's what matters. And the best example of how we do this and God's wonderful promise is shown in Luke 15. Luke 15, you all know the story. In this story, a father had two sons, and the younger one went to his father, asked, what demanded, I want my portion of inheritance. The father, unbelievably, gave it to him. Then, not many days passing, he sold everything and collected all and got all those money in his pocket and belonging, and then went off and spent, the Bible says, squandered with the loose living. What does that mean? Loose living. Interesting thing is, young people, when you have money, you'll have lots of friends. But when money gone, your friends will be gone too, likely, unless it is Christ in friends in Christ. So that's what happened to him. When his money is gone, all his friends gone too. And he was so hungry and starved, he hired himself as a Jewish person. They abhorred pigs. He had taught himself feeding the pig. Even they wouldn't give the food that the pigs were eating. How desperate and terrible situation he was in. 15:17, it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Didn't it smell bad? Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out a robe, the best one, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. This is how we can be right with God. We solve the problem of our human condition of death and judgment. This is how we repent. We, as soon as we acknowledge and realize that I have been living my life, I've been running, driving my life without God, apart from God. It doesn't have to be murder, stealing, committing adultery, whatever, whoever lives life without God, away from God, not placing God at the center of our heart, that is sin. Acknowledging that life doesn't work. Then return from that life and turning to God and confessing our sins and accepting what God has done, this wonderful free gift of our love, so-called grace, having His Son died on the cross while you and I were still yet sinners, through that whoever believes and receives Him might be forgiven, have eternal life. Accepting that God offer of love, and we turn around living and believing in this God's abundance, that is repentance. I want you to take a look at the picture. It was painted by a person, artist named Rembrandt. So real, amazing. This is Prodigal Son, Luke 15, our story, about the life of Rembrandt, the wonderful artist. Rembrandt painted this picture of the prodigal son between 1667 and some of few years at the end of his life. As a young painter, he was very popular and successful in Amsterdam. He got many commissions back then. That's how artists, they maintained their living. He was so successful and famous. He was known because he was so successful and famous. He was known as arrogant, argumentative. And he participated in the circles of a very rich people in a rich society. However, gradually, his life began to deteriorate. He lost a son. Then he lost his first daughter. Then he lost his second daughter. Then he lost his wife. Then the woman, after passing this wife he lived with, ended up in a mental hospital. Then he married a second woman later, who died soon after. Then he lost all his money and fame, and just before himself died, his son Titus died too. So many deaths, so many tragedy. Rembrandt, he was successful, famous. He tried to live the life, him being the Lord and driver of his life, and had gone through many pains and sorrows of life. Those times he was very argumentative, arrogant and prideful, but over time, through pains, he realized that living on his own, driving his life on his own, it doesn't work. Just pains, sorrows and suffering. So he finally surrendered himself to God and of his life. And then he fully experienced, realized God's abundant love. So he painted that picture. Was he the father in the picture, or was he the son? He was both. This is what I shared with you today. 9/11, car accident, lung cancer, sudden death, tragedies, death occurs to us all the time. Life. Instead of asking the question why, in fact, in terms of eternity, those questions don't matter that much. Real question that we ought to ask is, have I repented? Am I ready to meet my Maker? Life is so uncertain. We do not know tomorrow. The right question that I have to ask is, do I know God? Am I walking with God? If God calls me even tomorrow and today, am I ready? Those are the questions Jesus is asking us to ask. Unless you repent, you will all perish. So repent. Seek the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So ask those right questions. I now again realize life is so uncertain, precarious. I do not know about tomorrow. So I'm going to be right with God. I'm going to repent, and through this, I believe God is speaking to me. There are so many stupid and little things in life that I've been worrying and fighting and forcing about. And eternity, that's what matters. So I'm going to even focus my time, attention, my money for the kingdom's sake. That's what I'm going to do and think about. Think those things. And repented, accepted Christ once, and then that's good. But at the same time, this repentance has to be done every day. Right? Why? Through our word and thought and actions, even after we accepted Christ, because we are living in this sinful world, we sin every day. I do. That's why repenting and being right with God, as Katie shared with us in that way, if I do not wake up tomorrow because I repented, I cleared my relationship with God every day, I can stand there with God. Just smile. I think that's what's important. Living and walking with God every day in God's plentifulness. Life away from God is poor, miserable, wretched, terrible. Life with God and in God is so amazing. Life of abundance in the love of God.